Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 199, recorded on February 13th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And based on the happy bounce in your voice, I'm betting you're doing great, too.
Yes, I have caffeine in my blood.
You know, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Artificial happiness and energy. It's all good. Adam Christensen from the MacCast is also here. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Happy and bouncy. And I'm playing with my
Choose your words wisely, Michael.
Oh, boy. It's not going to get any better right now. Bucky balls.
You're playing with your balls? What?
My Bucky balls, yes. My spherical neodymium balls.
Oh, those things got outlawed, I thought.
Yeah, that's why I bought a bunch of them. Because right before they were...
Didn't they get recalled or...
I didn't get recalled.
Because kids were like swallowing them and gluing their insides together.
Yeah, because they just look so tasty. And I told my friend Michael Hopkins about this thing. I think it was about a year ago after we had discussed them, and I was working in his office at the time. And I'm like, hey, they're going to outlaw these. And so we bought a whole bunch of them together. So I bought some and he bought some. And I think every week from then on, I asked him about his Bucky balls and whether or not his children had found them yet,
right,
and eaten them all.
We shouldn't laugh. It's kind of a pretty serious thing because I think what happens is they get in the intestinal tract and then they'll basically fold the intestines together because they'll
Have multiple Buckyballs.
Yeah, so if it's inside you. Yeah, if it's just one, then
which is really bad.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah. One is
I was picturing eating one and then like 3 days later there's some kid sitting on a toilet crying, going, "It hurts to poop," clunk.
No. Because they're tiny.
They're
like the size of BBs basically.
Yeah.
But they're super strong magnets. And so
yeah. Okay. So when Buckyballs are outlawed, only outlaws will have Buckyballs.
Yeah, the thing is also one of those things, though, that I guess because it's marketed as a toy, but there's all kinds of other strong magnet toys out on the market that are probably just as easily swallowed. So I don't know why Buckyballs got particularly singled out.
Huh. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Don't eat Buckyballs, kids.
Yeah, don't eat them. And I was totally expecting to go to their website right now and find out that they're still selling them, and it was just a giant
marketing scam.
Yeah, they're not. So I feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm bummed because I didn't get any.
Well, you can get some. I think there are other there are other places that make them. There are other brands that have certain better properties, like the coatings don't come off and whatnot. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just excited my smart jars came this week.
Smart jars?
Yeah.
So is that like jam jars that tell you?
Yeah, it's like a Kickstarter project. They're these little organizational containers that go into a pegboard.
Oh, God. Please don't tell me.
This is butt, man.
Is this like a totally do-it-yourself kind of... Oh, no. Those actually look kind of cool.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to... say that they're just like mason jars that you hang on a pegboard.
No. They're like this. It's like this whole kind of special system. Yeah, works good for like organizing like nuts and washers and all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
Ooh. Bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I think they'd be really cool for Legos too. Like to separate all your like Lego collection.
Have you guys seen the Lego movie yet?
Nope.
I have not, but I totally want to see it.
Go see it.
I went past a theater that was playing it as I was walking into RoboCop.
Well, that makes you
nearly... Oh, God.
So
you went and saw RoboCop?
I did. I was excited that they were remaking RoboCop, so sue me. And it sucked. It wasn't that good.
Huh, how about that? You should have gone to Lego. That's
so not surprising.
But you know what? My girlfriend wasn't totally upset that we went to see it. So that's a
you know
good
what
sign.
I you know what I just saw and I think very few people saw but was good.
What?
Ender's Game.
Mm. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh,
that was a snooze fest.
Snooze? Oh, no, I thought it was great. Have you read the book?
No.
No. Well,
I mean, it seemed like it was definitely playing toward that sort of source material. You know, yeah,
obviously not. I don't think it followed the book that closely, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah,
I can see where it would be hard to follow the movie closely or follow the book closely.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because I was thinking, yeah, I should go see Ender's Game in the theater and totally forgot.
Well, the only reason I saw it is because it finally showed up for rental this week, I think, earlier this week on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I can rent it instead.
Yeah, that's what I did. I actually also saw Her. Did you guys see Her?
I have not seen that yet.
Definitely worth it.
Really?
Yes.
From the trailers, I was like, oh, God.
Have you asked Siri about Samantha yet?
No.
Try that. It's fun.
Should I do it right now? Should I ask her who is Samantha?
Say, what do you think about Samantha or something like that? Okay. I forget what you ask her. But. Okay.
What do you think about Samantha?
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
Okay.
That wasn't it. Oh, ask her if she knows Samantha.
Do you know Samantha?
No, she is a fictional construct, whereas I am a virtual entity, but we can still be friends.
Okay. That's pretty fun.
She'll get snippy about her, too, if you keep asking.
No, tell me, really. No, but it was a good movie. It was very entertaining, and don't take your kids to it.
No.
Because it's got
disturbing?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit disturbing in a really funny sort of uncomfortable way, but definitely worth seeing. I was not unhappy walking out of that theater. It was enjoyable.
Interesting. All right.
And thus ends We Have Communicators movie reviews.
Yeah, right.
And we actually have stories to talk about this week.
We do. The first topic, you guys are going to love this one. We're going to talk about Flappy Bird. Just for a little,
oh God,
for like
2 minutes. Please no.
And the first thing I'm gonna say about Flappy Bird is I downloaded it, and tried it.
And now are you selling your iPhone on eBay for like a gazillion dollars?
No, I hate that damn game. I got past like 2 Mario pipes and I threw my phone across the room.
Because my high score is 2.
Yeah, I threw my phone across the room and deleted that thing. And my girlfriend saw me playing it because she had heard all the stuff about
the
it.
Hype.
Yeah, the hype. And she's like, oh, yeah, that is pretty stupid because we were both into Jetpack Joyride. And she's
awesome,
like, yeah,
man.
That is dumb. And then she went and downloaded it 20 minutes later and she's like totally addicted to it. And she's like, I'm going to sell my iPad on eBay and get a bunch of money.
Except now you have an article in here. They're pulling down the listings.
They are. They're pulling down the listings. Although,
bastards.
You know, the funny thing is,
why?
I ran a search. And if you click on the link in this article, I think one of them, yeah, the one that says with Flappy Bird installed, you'll get an eBay search for iPhone Flappy Bird installed. And if you check the little sold listings filter on the left, you find some that were sold. Like I'm looking at $1,300, $860, $1,000.
Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
$3,500. And you know, honestly, I don't think these people are gonna pay. Why would you pay $5,000 for this stupid game?
I don't know, but who cares?
$10,000. Here's one for $10,000.
I would sell my iPhone in a heartbeat for a grand with Flappy Bird on it. Somebody had cash in hand.
Yeah, I would too.
There you go.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah,
I have Flappy Bird, so if anybody wants it, you know, let me know. I'll sell it to you for $1,000.
I have to get a new car, so anyone wants my iPhone with Flappy Bird installed, $10,000.
Well, and then the lame thing is though, if they ever need to reinstall it, they're done.
Yeah.
Because it's tied.
Come on, you just blew $10,000 for me. I hope you're happy, Adam.
It doesn't make any sense. You'd have to basically hand over your iTunes account.
Not necessarily.
So really, they'd have to buy your whole iTunes account from you.
Not necessarily. You can. I'm pretty certain you can sign out of the App Store, and the stuff that's authorized on the phone will still continue to work.
Yeah, it's already authorized.
Yeah, so, but then you can never reinstall it, and you can never re-download it because you don't have it in your iTunes account.
That's true.
Buyer beware.
The apps are non-transferable.
Yeah.
That's true.
Non-transferable.
So maybe that's the deal. Maybe people are paying that much because the person has to sign over the whole, basically their whole iTunes library.
Maybe.
Purchase library.
But this business about the seller, so the guy who created this dumb app, he at some point decided that he didn't want it on the store anymore.
And this is the weirdest part.
It is so weird. He took it down. He announced the day before. He's like, hey, I'm taking it down tomorrow. So get it while you can. Again, this is a free game. Took it down.
Yeah. Okay.
And he says that the reason is because it became an addictive product and that he didn't want all the attention.
I think it's more about he freaked out with the attention.
Okay.
And the addictive part... Because I forget who it was, but someone had a really nice timeline of the game from when it was first released, and the way this guy was handling the game at that point, up to and through when he actually pulled the game, because it was on the store for months,
mm-hmm. right.
before anyone really even knew about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
The weirdest thing is like he has the one thing like every app developer wants, right? Wants their game to be addictive and sell a gazillion copies or get downloaded a gazillion times. And so, you know, he gets the thing that everybody's like striving every day to achieve. And then that's why he pulls it down, because it's addictive. That's the irony to me.
Yeah, and now, was there any sense of how much this guy was making?
Like $50,000 a day,
according to some reports. Now, I don't know what's the source of that, though. I mean, I don't
remember. They that's just the number that's been
in app ads.
Yeah, because I've seen that too.
That was estimated, but I mean, there's no corroboration of that. I mean, he didn't confirm that, so. I don't think anybody really knows. Somebody sort of extrapolated this 50,000 number, which, I mean, is possible.
Yeah, I thought that number was extrapolated by a developer working from the back end of Apple system. And
but it's still an estimate, right? I mean, he's
yeah, then it'd still
guesstimate,
be an estimate,
really, right? Because you don't have access to that guy's account, so...
Right. Yeah.
So it's probably just based on number of downloads or... what's believed to be number of downloads versus, I don't know, you'd have, but I mean, with ads, wouldn't you have to know how much people are actually how much time people are actually spending in the app? And also, you know, I'm sure click-throughs, I don't know how was he doing iAds or some other system? Do we even know
I don't even remember.
I don't have my thing handy. I can download it, I guess.
I ignored all these articles because my RSS stream was going crazy with it for like, you know, 2 weeks, it seemed like. And I'm like, this is not this big a deal. It's a silly little game and the guy's pulling it and everybody's like freaking out. But it was just like what everybody wanted to talk about, apparently.
Right. I guess the developer himself told The Verge that he was making $50,000
a day. Oh, okay.
And it looks like they are iAds.
Yeah.
So Apple was making some money in there.
So I guess if he was making that for 2 weeks.
Well, it's $18 million a year.
Yeah, but so maybe the real reason is it got popular and addictive. So now I'm starting to maybe buy your thing, Jeff, that maybe he just didn't like the attention. And
yeah, he seemed to be kind of freaking out about the attention.
$50,000 for 14 days. What's that? That's $700,000.
Nice.
So if you make $700,000 suddenly, you could pull it and just be like, okay, I'm done. I'm good for a while.
Yeah, right.
Just going to hang out with this. Yeah. And where is he? He's in like...
Is he South Korea?
Yeah, so that money's probably going to go a ways for him.
Yeah.
And the other suspicion was that Nintendo had something to do with it, because obviously
he flat out denied that.
Yeah, he did. But obviously there, you know, like you got Mario warp pipes, I guess is the only real thing, right?
Well, and the bird design is from some other game too.
Okay.
Yeah,
like,
well,
the whole UI is kind of ripped off.
It is.
Yeah, the bird design, I think, has shown up in other things. It's also a design that he was planning on using in a game that he scrapped.
Okay. So is he selling other games right now at this point?
Yeah, he has several other games.
Yeah, he's had them, I think, before.
Man, this is wild. It's just such a weird story.
I guess that's why so many people are fascinated by it, because it's just sort of a serendipitous kind of thing. It's like this silly little game, and then it just explodes. But I mean, that's the nature of the internet, right? You never know what people are going to like freak out over and just take viral and go crazy with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had some friends posting like, "Hey, I just got past number 130."
No way.
Yeah.
My high score is 2.
Yeah, my high score is, 2. No, my best is 3.
Well, you're ahead of me.
Yeah.
I never downloaded it because it just bugged me.
Well, I downloaded it because I wanted to have some idea what everyone was flipping over. And this is before
reporter.
He announced.
Unlike me, who's just a hack.
You're not a hack. You're an awesome guy. So, anyhow, yeah.
It's
a very frustrating game.
My ranking in the scheme of things is 28,117,000.
All right, can we be done with this
story?
Yeah,
we're done. We're done with Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird.
No more. So, moving on, Apple last week released iOS 7.1 Beta 5 with some tweaks that don't make any sense to me regarding the Shift/Caps Lock button. It's now more confusing than ever.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was supposed to be less confusing.
Yeah, maybe it is, but it doesn't seem... I mean, let me see. The way it was... The way it is now is it's not filled in... If it's not on, and the little arrow is filled in when it is on, and now it's filled in all the time, but it just changes color, so it's like it inverts.
So it doesn't really tell you anything.
Yeah. So when Shift is enabled, the arrow is black and the key is white. When it's disabled, the key is like a dark, like an off.
Gray with white,
and then when it's caps lock is on, it has a little like dash below the arrow, kind of, you know, the international symbol for caps lock.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that's not why we're talking about it, because nobody cares about that crap. What really matters is that for those who jailbreak, they fixed the bugs that allow people to jailbreak in Beta 5. So unless the dudes at Evasion have anything else up their sleeves when 7.1 comes out, you won't be able to jailbreak it. So,
well, this happens every time, though.
Of course,
right?
Of course, right. It does. And you know, in some ways, the jailbreak community has been holding out hope that it wouldn't go down this way, especially because I think the first 4 betas were able to be jailbroken. But I mean, Apple has so many reasons other than simply thwarting jailbreak to close those holes. It is a security risk for anybody to have an OS with holes in there that allow them to jailbreak or have third parties get in there and hack your stuff. So
the voice improvements for Siri in 7.1, is it going to fix how she says shuffled?
Well, how does she say it now?
That's probably not.
So jacked up. Hold on, let me see if I can get her to say it. Play all music shuffled.
Playing all songs shuffled.
Wow.
Oh, she upspeaks. That's annoying.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, she does the same kind of thing when she's like, take the next left to I-90 westbound. Like it's a question.
Shuffled? It just bugs me. Like, because that's going to be a common thing. That's why can't they tweak that in the algorithm to like sound more natural?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
There are so many things like that.
Upspeak gets annoying really quick.
Does it?
Really?
Yeah.
And we just lost half our listeners.
I don't know if you, how often do you guys have your iOS devices read text to you?
Never?
Almost never.
Okay. I do it with textbooks because at some point I'm just go cross-eyed with dry material. And again, maybe that's why this bug is in there, but what happens is you have her start speaking some text and it works, and then you have her start speaking some more text, and then you won't be able to get her to stop after the second time you start it. So she has to either finish what she has been told to read, or you have to quit the app, and then you just got to go over and over again. So apparently that's not something that Apple engineers have encountered yet, but it's very common for me. And it's a pain in the butt. There are a lot of things like that, though, in iOS 7. So if you do find things, you know, I always like to say report stuff to Apple, because if it's something that they don't know about and care about, they will fix it. So, for example, I know there's been a lot of concern, especially on the Mac Geek Gab side of things, and I do the enhancements for that, that they're abandoning the AAC, putting the links. And I guess, Adam, you care about this too, because you do the same thing. You do chapters and links in your show, right?
Yeah, wait, say this again?
So I submitted a bug report to them maybe a month or two ago when the latest version of iTunes came out, and it was regarding the fact that links, I don't think the links even showed up in iTunes anymore.
No.
Yeah. So they stopped showing up and they weren't clickable because they weren't there. And they sent me back a message saying, hey, we believe this thing was fixed in the latest version of iTunes. I went and opened iTunes and sure enough, it works now.
Okay. So that's a step in the right direction.
It is. Yeah, it is.
They've improved the iOS app too. They finally fixed the chapters bug, which was bugging the heck out of me.
Oh, good.
Where it wouldn't display the chapter titles. Just said chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, even though they were all there.
So, yeah. I think it's bug report? Yeah, bugreport.apple.com. You know, create your account, and you might even be able to just sign in with your Apple ID and submit bug reports if you find anything, because it does help. They actually listen, and that's the best way to get Apple to fix things or add features, yada yada. So moving on, what do we have here? Oh, speaking of bugs, there's an interesting one where you can actually get disable Find My iPhone. Did you guys see that? It's pretty simple. And I've did it on my phone. Basically, you go in there into the settings and you do a couple, like two different odd things, and then you can sign in with a different iCloud account. And I Find My iPhone for that account is turned off, and you can sign into a different account. Now, whether
so you have to have physical access not only to the phone,
yep,
but it has to be unlocked so you can get into it.
Correct.
And you can change the Find My iPhone settings and. Of course you can. You have full access to the phone.
Well, it usually gives you a password prompt. It says, if you want to sign out of this account, you have to give us the password for it. Now, I guess the concern about it was if someone can do this. So if someone swipes your phone and you don't lock it, which a lot of people don't, then they could just change the password or change the account, the iCloud account, and then actually use your phone by restoring it and have it registered to this new iCloud account.
Why not just reset the whole phone?
Well, because then it would still not activate.
Because of the new activation lock feature.
That's right, because of the activation lock. That's right.
Right. And I guess this does not bypass activation lock. It seems as though activation lock is something that Apple does on their servers. And when they go to activate an iPhone, they say, no, it was never not activated with this other account. You're going to have to give that password. So that is still in place. Someone can use your phone still if they don't want to restore it.
This seems like such a minor deal. Why are we even talking about it?
Oh, it seemed interesting to me.
Put a passcode on your iPhone, people.
Yeah, put a passcode on your phone.
Do people still run around without passcodes on their iPhones?
I'm raising my hand.
Put a passcode on your iPhone, Michael.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it until I get one with a fingerprint thing. It's too inconvenient for me. I don't like it.
Oh, my God.
And if someone as smart as me and who talks to you guys every week doesn't do it, a lot of other people don't do it.
This is the same reason I have to have the conversation with my clients and people I know about not using the same simple password on everything.
Well, at least I use one password now. But the way I see it is, I'll just, if my phone gets lost, I'll remotely lock it. And the issue I have, so the way I did it before is I had the simple password with one letter, one character letter. So it was, and the complex keyboard would come up, the full keyboard would come up. And I figured that would give me a small amount of extra security until I could get to find my iPhone and change the password. Well, you can't actually change the password from find my iPhone. You can only turn it on. You can only remote. So if there's a password already on your phone, even if it is the letter A, you can't change it. You can just remotely lock it. So if someone's already figured out that your password's A, you're done. You're cooked. So, I figure it's better to leave it off and then put on a real, actual good password later.
I don't know. All I know is I had the conversation just this week with somebody that's like, I can't get into my .Mac email. It's like, really? Yeah, suddenly it's not working. What's going on? Oh, and then somehow through troubleshooting, we find out they had a Yahoo account. Well, Yahoo got hacked, right? So it's like, did you change the password on your Yahoo account? Or did you get the notification from Yahoo that your account got hacked? Yeah. Do you happen to use the same password on .Mac as you do Yahoo? Yeah. Why? Well, I'll tell you why you can't get into your .Mac account.
Oh, man. That's...
Because they got your Yahoo password and they tried it everywhere.
And it worked.
It worked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call Apple. Hopefully they'll help you. And when you're done, put a different password on everything. Oh, by the way, enable two-factor with Apple.
You know what I recently started doing with like my Gmail password and my Gmail account and my Apple ID, my iCloud account. I created two extra accounts to be my for each, like my iCloud account. I have another Gmail account that is strictly for password recovery, and I did the same thing for my Gmail. And each of those accounts have different account names and different passwords. So if someone gets a hold of one in some weird way, they can't get access to the other. Which I thought was a pretty clever idea. But I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there who have done that already. But I think it's a good idea if you're really concerned about security. And, you should be. Especially if you...
The guy that doesn't have a passcode on his iPhone.
Hey, I've given a lot of thought to it. And ultimately, I figure it's better for me in the end. In terms of convenience, anyway.
Well, except now when they get your phone and disable Find My iPhone, and then you can't remote wipe it.
They won't be able to disable Find My iPhone because...
Isn't that what we just talked about?
Yeah, except until you go into your, usage or whatever the heck the thing is, restrictions. If you go into restrictions, you can restrict changes to iCloud, and then it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm. And that's not inconvenient.
Well, I don't ever change my iCloud stuff, so who cares?
True. That's true.
There we go. Less of an issue. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to iPhone 6 rumors.
Let's move away from beating up on Michael for not having a passcode on his phone.
For a minute, at least.
Okay. For a minute.
According to LED Inside, a division of... it's a research firm from TrendForce. Whatever, nobody cares. Either way, according to them, they say that the LED panels are going to be thinner, allowing for thinner iPhones and iPads, and lighter as well. And of course, I think hours after that happened, we got these photos of supposed iPhone 6 prototypes. You guys, I'm sure you saw those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally fakey.
Your token blurry, can't see anything photos.
Yeah, super fake, but they look cool. And by super fake, I mean the renderings or whatever they did, whatever technique they used to create these, they kind of messed up, as one does when you're making these sort of photos. You know, repeating textures and whatnot. So once you see it, then it's obvious they're super fake.
Isn't it amazing how some of the rumors that we have this time are the same rumors we had last time for the iPhone 5S? Like higher megapixel camera, bezel-free display.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's because they're all the same updates.
Well, I think that bezel-free display makes sense. Because that's, I mean, they've been pushing for that forever.
Why aren't we going with the wraparound?
A wraparound?
Display?
Like in RoboCop?
They have wraparound displays on the phones in RoboCop.
I think the phones are actually just transparent in RoboCop.
Yeah, that was a rumor that Samsung was going to put out a Galaxy with a display that actually wrapped around the edges, which makes no sense.
So it was easy to do, like, selfies or something?
No. Just as a design feature. I mean, it's purely a design thing. So the glass goes around the edge. So imagine the edge of your iPhone is also display.
Hmm.
You know, that couple millimeters, right?
I think it just
can't put any image. I mean, there can be image on there, like your background pattern for your, but I mean, it's not usable. I wouldn't imagine it's a usable part of the display. I guess maybe you could do like a ticker. Or something like a news ticker along the side of your phone.
or make disco lights go around the edge.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because you could kind of do some fun stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's just like... But I'm just saying, you know, the point is, like, if we're going to go to the edge, why not go over the edge?
Yeah.
Let's make it a real rumor.
And make it a selfie mode.
The entire thing is going to be a display front and back.
I agree.
I think that's actually awesome. It's a mood phone.
I think they're going to increase the megapixels. I would like them to increase it, but they're not going to increase it if they can't, affordably increase the low light ability and stability and all that stuff that we've talked about before.
I think it'd be cool if they could make a phone with a color e-paper display on the back that you could then just change out the design on the back of the phone.
Yeah, I'd like that.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be really cool because then it's really not using any power.
Yeah, right. Do that. Make that happen, Adam. You got connections, right?
If nothing else, someone should be able to build that into a case.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm sure there are cases like that, actually. Let's see. So, you know, we were talking about the Sapphire displays on the new iPhones. It seems as though instead of for the iPhones, we're going to be seeing that for the alleged iWatch, not the iPhone 6.
Brian and I went round and round with this yesterday on Apple Context Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the manufacturing capabilities that Apple has with Sapphire plant,
yep,
gives them the ability to make like 200 million iPhone screens. And if it's just for the iWatch, we're looking at like enough Sapphire for at least 600 million devices. And So the speculation that we finally came up with was along the lines of maybe Apple had to take all this equipment right now because they got such a good deal on it. But they're ramping up production, so they're not going to be using all of the Sapphire production gear immediately.
That's what it seems like to me, that at the initial run, you know, the initial full production from this place is going to be for iWatch.
Maybe the Sapphire Glass is for the new spaceship headquarters.
That's, you know what? That's so smart.
Glass. That's, sure.
Can't they, you know what they should do? They should make it out of sugar glass.
So they can throw each other through and stage really awesome fights.
Yes, exactly. And then lick it, and it tastes good.
And it tastes good. That's true.
No. So yeah. So you guys think it's going to be there... going to just do an initial production run for the iWatch and not for the phones?
That's what it sounds like. But you guys are totally sold on the idea of the iWatch, right?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Look,
Apple's
look
hiring.
At all the hires.
They're hiring so many people for this thing.
I will tell you, since Pebble 2.0 came out, my Pebble Watch is much better.
Yeah.
Much more functional. Although the killer app right now is Pebble Bucks.
Okay.
I have my Starbucks card on my Pebble.
Oh.
And I've been freaking out the baristas every time I go in.
Like, hey, scan my phone.
I'm like, can I pay with my watch? What?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, because it brings up the barcode they need to scan.
Okay.
Ah.
That's neat.
Yeah, well, and it has my balance on it.
Nice.
And although it looks like the star points aren't working in this app, so I got to figure out what's going on with that, but it's awesome.
Does it work?
I use it all the time now. I don't have to take my phone out to pay for my coffee. I just scan my watch.
Can you use it at dumb Starbucks?
Probably not.
There are such a thing?
Yeah, there's places like if you go into, say, a hotel that has a Starbucks,
it's
not really Starbucks.
No.
They can't scan. They have to actually type the number, and they can't scan from the barcode.
No. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's a place.
Probably not.
I guess I thought for a second that you knew about it, but it's a thing in, I guess it's L.A. It's called Dumb Starbucks, and it is essentially a Starbucks. That someone is perpetrating copyright infringement, but they're doing so under parody law. So they're calling it Dumb Starbucks and saying it's a parody of Starbucks. So they're getting around the whole thing, and they're just selling coffee, just regular old coffee. And they're like buying pastries from Ralph's and selling them there and just having fun with it. So that's Dumb Starbucks.
Oh, well, there you go. I just found an article about it. Dumb Starbucks. Wow. They even... they're not going to be able to keep this up under the parody law.
Yeah.
Try as they might. There's just... I mean, all I needed to see was the photograph of the front of their store.
And how it is the logo of Starbucks?
It's the Starbucks logo with the word dumb at it. They're going down.
Yeah, well, it's fun right now though.
Sure. And they'll make a bunch of money right away, and then they're gonna have to shut down and run.
Yep. So I guess I'm assuming your watch doesn't work at Dumb Starbucks.
Probably
it works, it just won't let you make purchases.
Right,
unless you're like, hey, can I trade you this watch for a coffee?
Yeah, that might work.
Yeah, yes. I don't know, but it's gotten more useful. So I'm starting to believe more in the smartwatch concept a little bit more.
Yeah, and I guess you think the rumored health book app for iOS 8 that must have a companion in the watch, right?
I hope it looks better than the mockups.
Than the mockup.
Well, the mockups, those are just people doing mockups.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so just, I'm not concerned about how this...
But isn't it based off a patent application that Apple filed.
Well, yeah, but have you looked at patent applications for like interfaces? They look as dumb as possible.
Well, they do that on purpose.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They do it as dumb as possible.
Yeah, so basing your mock-up design off of what they have in a patent application is not the best plan of action.
Okay. So the drawings in the
those drawings look like what I would expect my mom to draw if I handed her a pencil and a pad of paper right after she'd had her stroke. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. They make it look like a passbook for like health stuff with the basically like the little cards.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just worried that could be how it turns out to be, because one, Apple has done passbook and this thing's called healthbook.
Sure.
And two, the whole tile UI thing seems to be really taking off, especially with like Google pushing it and Microsoft pushing it. And I don't know how much I really like it, though.
I'm going to wait to pass judgment until I see what Apple actually does.
Or I guess it's more the card UI.
Yeah, their cards, but yeah.
I mean, if Apple's going to go that route, for Christ's sake, bring back HyperCard then, please.
I just hope they figure out that they really need to worry about readability. You're looking at this mock-up right now. There's the thing in the center of the notes, like yellow on a white background, is just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
So... what else do we have here? iWatch. Yeah, they're hiring a bunch of people. They hired a guy from Philips Research, an exercise psychologist or physiologist rather. And
the guy from Philips is a sleep specialist.
Right. Yes. And then there's a separate guy who's a exercise physiologist. And yeah, they're just growing their biometrics team. I think they added another guy today.
Well, they didn't add him today, but we found out about him today.
Right, yeah.
They hired him in January. And he's another biometric, non-invasive sensor specialist.
Yeah.
Like so many of these other people.
Yeah, I'm still just, I don't see it happening, but I guess it's going to happen. Everybody likes those sport band things, don't they? Or fuel band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. People love this stuff.
Yeah.
I am a hardcore Fitbit fan. And I cannot imagine going anywhere without my Fitbit.
Huh.
I mean, it has become a part of my daily routine. Everything happens almost everything happens with my Fitbit right there.
Hmm.
And I'm carrying around the one that clips on your pocket as opposed to the one that you wear on your wrist.
Is that better because it's it tracks better, or
with the new Fitbit, is it the Flex? The latest wristband that they did. I think most people could use that instead of the one, which is the belt clip style. And get the same results. I started using a Fitbit before there was a wristband option, and the first wristband option they came out with wasn't that great. I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't that great, so I didn't see any point in switching. I'm not a big fan of wearing stuff on my wrist either.
Fair enough.
So which one do you have, Jeff?
I have the Fitbit One, which is
I have that. That's what I have too.
Yeah, the one that does the Bluetooth linking and all that.
They have the Flex and the Force. I think the Force is the new one.
Force is the new one, yes.
The display on it, right? The Flex didn't have, it just had the little dots.
Yeah, the Force was limited feature-wise compared to the One. And with... So the new one's the Force? The Flex
new one is the Force, yes.
Okay, so the Flex was limited. The Force is basically a Fitbit One on your wrist.
Gotcha.
So the thing that I'm excited about, the rumors I'm excited about, are the Apple TV rumors. And so I guess they've found that iOS 7 builds, I think even back to iOS 7.0, they've had references to a new Apple TV, Apple TV 4.1, which the previous ones were 2.1, 3.1, and 3.2. And so the 4.1 sort of indicates a significant step in the evolution of the Apple TV, whatever this thing is referring to. And of course, with the difference between the 3 and the 2 is just processor. It looks like the same thing. Although 3 does have a little bit better abilities, like the ability to tap your phone on it and automatically set it up and all that cool stuff. And of course, we've been talking about how the Apple TV, the next Apple TV, may have stuff like support for game controllers and games and an app store and all this other stuff. What was the latest estimate on when we would see a new one? By the end of March?
Somewhere between April and fall.
Okay.
A nice small window.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, now it's like it is like April and fall for like a Christmas time release, which is just kind of ridiculous, I think. But if anything, I feel like if something like that is going to happen where we're not going to see the Apple TV until Christmas time this year, I think we will probably see an iOS update or a beta, rather, with the ability for developers to begin creating apps for the Apple TV before it actually comes out, before this new one comes out.
I'm convinced there's going to be a big Apple SDK announcement at WWDC in June.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you're right.
Well, if not earlier. Don't you think it'd be earlier?
It would be a really good time to do it at WWDC.
Yeah, it would be. But I think historically they've always announced the new SDKs around March. And then, and I guess it makes sense in some ways to reserve WWDC as a way to just provide developers with help on what they're doing in the, you know, midstream as they're developing their apps. Because you have all of those Apple engineers, it's a much better opportunity if they've actually gotten their hands dirty in the new stuff for a little while, and they can say, well, you know, I understand most of the stuff, but there's this one thing that I can't get it to do. Can you help me out? Sort of thing. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, Apple still has a content problem with the Apple TV. That's why I think the most exciting rumor surrounding the Apple TV is them bringing game content on board, because the TV content that they've been adding is crap.
Yeah.
They're just doing the same thing that everybody else has been doing, and it's all tied to cable subscription, which the whole point of having an Apple TV is so that you can cut the cord. It's not so that you can leverage your existing ram me in the butt cable subscription package.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the latest, was it from Wall Street Journal? Or maybe it was Bloomberg.
Well, Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal both had stories about the whole Apple Time Warner talks for Apple TV content.
Mm-hmm.
And they both say pretty much the same thing. But the Wall Street Journal has a little bit more information on the negotiations. And my take from it is that what it came down to is that Apple tried to go directly to the people that are making the shows and get distribution deals with them. That didn't work. So to be able to get the content that they want, they had to find another way to get those licensing deals. So they're making the deals with the cable companies.
So instead. Wrong. So wrong. That's not who they should be making the deals with. They should be making deals with Netflix and Amazon for like their original content.
Yeah.
If that's even possible. Amazon would be a lot harder, I think, than Netflix. But,
right.
You know, I would start propping up the people that want to go direct to consumer and are creating new content and go after that, because the old guys just are never going to come around. You know, they will once they see all that other stuff taking off, but then it's, you know, then they'll be willing to deal. But you might as well use your upper hand now. And I still maintain that Apple could get a lot of content extending the iBook store and the app model to media creators. Where it's like, you know, we're not going to fund it, but you figure out how to make your show and we'll give you an awesome distribution platform and allow you to sell it, and we'll take a little cut and you keep the rest and figure out how you're going to dole it out. You know, because the one thing that Netflix isn't providing is, yeah, they're creating original content, but you've got to already be somebody. What about all the indie guys that, like, I've got a crew, I've got people that I know, we can produce this thing for 50,000, 100,000, a couple hundred thousand, and put together a show, but we can't sell it to networks, they won't buy it, Netflix isn't interested in touching it, but we have an audience, there's consumers we know that will want this content. Apple has the perfect platform to deliver that stuff, and they really should be going after that market, in my opinion, in a huge, huge way. And they could lock up a lot of those people into their system.
Yeah, but that doesn't sell the platform to consumers. Oh, you can watch J Random Dude's new YouTube channel on this thing.
Well, it's a foot in the door for other content. So you start by selling the platform as your home entertainment system, much like they're selling Apple TV today.
Sure.
But you say, oh, and it's also a gaming console. And you have access to Apple exclusive original shows.
Okay.
But that's not your big hype initially. And as shows start gaining traction, then Apple can start working more deals.
Yeah, they can have the Apple channel or the iTunes channel on the Apple TV that's like original Apple content and shows. You know, why not?
Sure. And they didn't have to put up any of the money to make the shows happen because other people are coming to them and saying, here it is.
I mean, and if they wanted to juice it, they could produce a couple shows or do a contest or something like that, have people submit. I mean, there's ways to find new shows. I noticed Amazon's doing this thing right now with Amazon Prime where they produced a bunch of, like, a handful of shows, and now they're having people vote on which ones that they like
right.
in some way.
Yeah, that was part of their plan for...
So they had a bunch of pilots made or something?
Yeah, people submitted ideas for pilots, and a handful were selected, and now they've been produced, and people get to vote.
So yeah, Apple could totally do something like that, you know, create a fund like they... Just like they did when they launched apps. Remember when they made that sort of app fund through...
That's right.
Kleiner Perkins, I think it was, or one of those... agencies.
Oh yeah.
To kind of get app developers excited. I mean, you could get media producers excited and create a fund to maybe fund some of the bigger, you know, shows that seem like they're going to have more legs. I don't know, but I mean, it just seems like you got to get away from, you just got to make a clean break from the old system.
Well,
like
the fact
that Apple's wasted so much time, yeah, dealing with those guys, it's just like, forget it, move on.
Yeah. And problems with the old system are going to be problems with the deals that Apple gets with the cable companies. One of the things that came out of the Wall Street Journal report was that sources are saying Apple is willing to agree to only the five most recent episodes for on demand, which is what everyone else gets, and that's kind of stupid. And then the other thing that they're apparently willing to agree to, if they have to, is to block the ability to fast forward through an episode for the first 3 days it's available. And that's to accommodate the TV networks that are afraid that they're going to lose viewers.
Of course they're going to lose viewers.
Right, because their model is antiquated now.
Yeah.
I cut my cable cord a few years ago, and my television has a DVD player, an Apple TV, and a Wii connected to it.
Yep. My TVs don't even get turned on, frankly, ever. haven't for probably 2.5, going on 3 years. I have 3 of them in the house, and they literally don't get used.
And mine gets used more often for iTunes Radio than anything else.
Wow.
Which is, it's, yeah. Because if I want music playing, but I don't want it coming from my computer speakers, then my other option is a television. So I'll turn on the TV and pick one of my iTunes radio stations and let it play.
Yeah, I'm all Netflix, iTunes rentals. Mm-hmm. About the only thing I am TiVoing and watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But even that I'll forget for like 3 weeks and then I'll just binge. Like, oh yeah, there's three of those in there. Let me watch those.
And I don't even record those. I have friends that live nearby and we'll get together and do dinner and watch the TiVoed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they have.
That's neat.
There you go.
Yeah. And I think I don't think, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's unusual, but I'm finding it to be less and less unusual. You talk to more people and they're like, yeah, I don't really watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's extending. It used to just be, you know, younger people, but I'm having more people in my peer circle say the same thing. It's like, yeah, we canceled our cable or we're done with that. We're not really, you know, we're watching Netflix or we're buying stuff on iTunes or we've got Hulu in some cases, which to me, Hulu is just an extension of the networks, but okay.
Yeah, Hulu is super irritating. Too many ads.
Well, Hulu was created by the networks.
Yeah.
In reaction to iTunes.
Yeah. So ads are to be expected.
Right. And yeah, all they did was they took their existing model and stuck it in a web browser.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Apple TV stuff. And I think we've only got a few more minutes to go. So we should get to our iPhone picks or iDevice picks. And Jeff, I'll let you go first.
All right. And great. Now my iPhone won't wake up so that I can find what it was I wanted to talk about. Oh, okay. Here it is. So I found it's a simple little app. It's called Wallgram. And what it does is it lets you take your Instagram photos and turn them into the parallax ready wallpapers for iOS 7. So instead of having to like go download an image and go into Photoshop or something and make sure that you have the scaling and everything correct, you just go to your Instagram feed with this app, pick the photos that you've already taken and say, turn this into my wallpaper. And it does everything for you, including setting it up and applying it.
Now, but aren't Instagram photos like small and square?
Yes, and it manages to make those work as parallax images.
Huh.
And it's a one-trick pony. It's a dollar or two for the app.
$1.
There you go. $1 for the app. But if you want to have more variety in the images that you're using for your wallpaper and you want them to have a good parallax effect, here's an easy way to do that for a buck.
Cool. There you go.
My pick was going to be Flappy Birds, but it's not on the Apple Store anymore.
Yeah. And it's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid, like iPhone pass locks.
I agree. Adam, what's your pick of the week?
I'm actually going to pick something that showed up in the mail from a company, and it is a dock for iPhone, iPad, or Android called the EverDock.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Oh, it is. I have fallen quickly in love with it. And I didn't even know about it. It just showed up and I was like, oh, let me try this out. It is one of these, you know, single block of aluminum machined docks. But what I particularly like about it is, one, it will work with 30-pin, I think, micro USB or your lightning connector, because it just kind of has a little pass-through hole. And then it has a little channel on the bottom where you can run the cable, your cable through, right? And then it comes with a couple little rubber inserts so that you can use it with a case, without a case. And what I just like about it is it's just really simple and elegant, and it works really well. And the other key is, so there's some docks out there that are like really heavily weighted. This has some weight to it, but it also uses that microsuction technology. So on the base, you stick it down to any smooth surface, and you can literally dock and undock with just, you know, a couple fingers just picking it up.
Wow.
And it will stay stuck to the desk. As a matter of fact, one of my only complaints probably is that I had to move it, or I wanted to move it the other day, and I had a hell of a time getting it back up off of my... Now, my desk has a glass top on top of it, so that's probably part of the reason why it's pretty smooth.
Nice.
But I was just impressed. And the price, you know, it's a little on the pricey side, but really for an aluminum machine dock, it's not as pricey as some of the other ones. So it's $50 for the one that would be for an iPhone. They also, it'll work for an iPad too. I haven't tried it with my iPad Air yet. Seems like it'd be kind of precariously balancing on it because it's not super wide.
Yeah.
But I might give it a shot. But it's perfect for the iPhone. They have a EverDock Duo, so they have a two dock version, so you can do your iPad and your iPhone. And that's $69.99. So it's $49.99 for just the single one, $69.99 for the Duo. And then they have for like $110, you can get a combo pack where you get a single dock and a Duo dock together. So it's actually some pretty good pricing, I thought, on it. And that's the thing is, I think because it sort of sticks down to a desk, it's not going to be the kind of thing you're going to move around. So if you have multiple kind of charge sync locations like you like to have, maybe one by your bedside, one in the kitchen, and one in the office, you might want, you know, two or three of these things. So I guess at that point it gets a little bit pricey, but overall I was really impressed. And the only other complaint is the little rubber inserts that kind of go on it don't stick in super well. They're just kind of held in by friction, and those could stick a little better, but I haven't had any really problems with it peeling up or anything like that. But overall, just impressed out of the gate with the dock. I like it a lot.
Cool.
So Fused, I think it's Fused Designs, F-U-Z Designs.
Yep.
.com.
Yep. F-U-Z-D Fused. I guess F-U-Z Designs.
Yeah.
Fused Designs.
Fused Designs.
Yep.
And the EverDock is the product.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have links to that in the show notes, of course, as we do with all of them. My pick this week is going to be, let me see what it's called. Hang on. Hold on. Square Cache. Have I talked about this yet?
I have never used it. I know what you're talking about. I don't think you have.
Okay. So it's really neat. I saw it as one of the recommendations on Appler from one of the people I follow. And it's a free app. It's from the people who do Square, so you can trust them with your financial information, at least your credit card number. And the way it works is, instead of with the Square reader, you have to have your little reader, and they actually take a cut when you're processing with the reader. With this, basically you say, I want to either send or receive some cash. So let's say you're sitting with someone at a restaurant and you want to split the bill and you want to send somebody, you know, $15. So you open up the app, you type 15 and you press the send button, and it opens up an email compose page, and you just email them this thing that says, hey, here's $15. So they don't have to have an account. They don't have to have the app or anything. So you don't have to be set up in that way. So you just say, I'm sending you $15. Here's an email. And then to redeem that $15, you go in and I think you give them your debit card information, and it goes into your account.
Yep. It's really freaky. It's just cash by email. You don't even really... I mean, the app helps you compose the email, basically.
Yeah, you can technically do it without the app.
Yeah, you can just do it by sending an email. You put the... I think you put the just the amount and the subject, right? And then you email it to like cash at Square Up, or what's the, isn't there like some special email address?
There's a CC. You CC send at square.com.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And then it has to be registered from your email address. So, yeah, it's super easy. I've done it a couple times, and it works, and it's free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's really all that matters.
I just don't know, I don't understand how the security works.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either.
Like, what's to prevent me from sending an email that looks like it's from you to myself that says, "Hey, here's $1,500."
Boy, I don't know. I really don't.
They must have something.
I know. There's some sort of magic behind the scenes, I'm sure, because this has been around for a while, and I know people that use it. So, I mean, I'm sure it's been thoroughly vetted and tested. I'm not questioning it, because I know it works, but I just, like, it's kind of one of those unicorn magic kind of things.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
No, everything's awesome about unicorns. That's the thing.
Seemingly, at least. Seemingly. So, yeah.
Well, let's test it out, Michael. Send me $1,500.
I don't...
See what happens.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Oh.
Don't think I'm going to do that. Maybe that's the security right there. All right, so yeah, that's Square Cash. It's free. You can get it in the App Store, and you can find all of the iPhone picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Of course, you can discuss the show there too if you want. There's a comment field powered by Discuss, and rate the show in iTunes. You can send your feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. We'd appreciate you telling a friend if you know someone who might like the show. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always a blast. Every single time.
Every time. And Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is where you find the member version of the show.
Yes, sir.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at Get Appler on Twitter is Appler's Twitter. And of course, check out Appler. It's GETAPPLR.com, getappler.com. And with that, we'll see you next time. And we have communicators.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.